Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right, friends, welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, a podcast that's hosted by me, Kyle, and my longtime friend, Robbie Earle. And Robbie, I'm just so excited. Dun, 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 dun. I just can't hide it. Dun, 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 bum, bum. I just saw an amazing episode of television and it makes me so happy. You know, all my concerns about episode 3, they went and they totally redeemed themselves.
Look at that.
They totally redeemed themselves. Dumb and Dumber style. When I didn't think they could, they did. Everything I wanted, I got finally. So I can't wait to dive into it. Yikes. How are you?
I'm great. I'm also basking in the glow of a great episode. I figured that this might happen, given that, like, I feel like there's a trend of the quote-unquote filler episode, which I still think is not totally fair to episode 3. And then an episode where it's just packed. I mean, this episode was packed. So I had a great time. It's been a crazy day. I didn't get to watch the episode twice, which, you know, always drives me crazy.
I hate that. You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. But, you know, we'll come back. We'll just record another episode if we have to. And we just camp out in Loki episode 4 for the full week. I mean, come on. It warrants it.
Here's the deal. We say this a lot. I get it, that this is a big episode and this is a big day, but I need you guys to know how overwhelmed I feel with how much stuff I want to share with you guys, because we got some big stuff coming in this episode. And then, like I said, as you can tell, I was just, a new fire was lit underneath me when I watched this episode today. So I got so much to get to. Robbie, we got a chance to see each other this week, which was incredible. I'm not going to go into it for crazy amounts of detail because we recorded an episode that previews Black Widow that's actually coming out on Monday. So you'll hear me kind of gush about it then.
And
so
if you can't
I'll
wait,
save some of that.
If you can't wait, our initial reactions are posted on Instagram. We did a little live stream as soon as we walked out of the theater. So you can go look that up and see the sort of right in the moment excitement there, but the episode coming is a lot more in depth than that.
It was so fun to be back in the movie theater with you watching a Marvel movie, but just being in the theater in general was really, really fun. And you'll hear about that on Monday. But also, just to clarify, so Monday is a Black Widow spoiler-free preview episode, which hopefully gets you excited for the actual movie. Mm-hmm. Tuesday is an interview with comic writer Kelly Thompson, which is so fun. She literally has been writing some of the best Black Widow comic runs that we have right now.
Yep.
And so we had a really fun conversation with her. You're going to want to hear that. Then Wednesday, a new Loki episode airs. And then Thursday, we're going to review that episode. But Robbie, not only did I see you, I actually got to see our good mutual friend Pete. So shout out Pete. I mean, let's go.
Love Pete. Come on, Pete.
Love Pete. Let's go. Let's go, Pete. And we were having dinner, and you know me, I got so excited talking about Marvel stuff, talking about sports, that I was talking so fast, talking so excitedly, right as I was trying to bite into a mozzarella stick. And
I committed
to that mozzarella stick bite, and you know where this is going, right? Absolutely destroyed my tongue. Just brutalized my tongue. And so the rest of the week, legitimately, I had a hard time talking because every time I talked, my tongue kind of tingled and hurt. And so I was telling my wife that story. I have a point to this. I promise. Relax. I was telling my wife about this, and she's like, oh, that's the least surprising thing ever. And I was like, what does that mean? She's like, hey, you put a quarter in, you got to let the whole jukebox play out. I was like, Whoa, is that offensive or a compliment? I can't tell. So obviously she was making that Luis joke, saying that I was kind of like Luis, and that got us thinking, what character does Robbie most resemble to me in the MCU? Okay, which I loved. And then she said, you need to ask Robbie. So I'm going to give you time to think about it. Come up with a couple of characters that you think I am most like in the MCU right now on the spot. And while you're doing that, I'll give you my top three. You ready? I put thought into this.
These are me or you?
These are the characters that I think you most resemble. I'm painting you in this picture. Cool. So here we go. You can think about yours for me is what I'm saying.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that I had the rules clear.
Again, this is all just because I chomped on my tongue. Okay, that's where my brain went. But number one, Vision.
Wow.
Which is high praise. That's high praise. You know, Sam Wilson, number two.
Wow, also high praise.
And then Coulson, number three.
I mean, again, if you went through our rewatch with us, you know I love my man Coulson.
You do. My wife said that you reminded her of the guy in Doctor Strange who has one arm and says nothing, but when the Ancient One says, "Oh, you don't need your hands to do it. Show them," and they like toss to the other old guy who can do the sling ring with no hands.
Right.
That's who my wife thought you reminded her of. I was like, wait,
I love
how?
That answer so much.
So this is what I was thinking. You're slow to anger. You're wise. You only speak after you've thought something out. I don't view you as like super quippy. So like that kind of rules out even like to me that rules out like Iron Patriot.
Mm.
And I don't think you really, really want the spotlight all the time. So it couldn't be like a center character. Like it rules out like Tony Stark, because I don't think you're going into a conversation wanting the attention, but you still have some humor. So that's why I thought like Sam and Coulson, you know, Coulson's got some jokes kind of.
Yeah.
More than say like Captain America, because I didn't think you were like principled enough, you know, for Captain America. Like you have principles, but like so that's my answers. Vision,
I mean, he's
Sam Wilson and Phil Coulson. What do you think?
Cap, I respect that, because there's an argument to be made that Cap has more principles than he does personality at times. So that's fair. I don't know that anyone's that principled. I wouldn't consider myself, like, I mean, you know,
but
that
like
would be,
that much of like a take charge, like leader that way.
That's also a good point. Yeah.
You're more of like a wise leader, like Vision.
Man. No. Okay. First off, thank you, because those are all very complimentary picks. For you, I mean, the first thing that came to mind was Malekith, obviously.
Whiplash.
for all the reasons all of our listeners are thinking. No, I mean, so I feel like my first one for you.
Do you agree with Luis, like my wife said?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know if that's offensive or not.
No, I mean, it's definitely not offensive, because I feel like Luis is the reason people, I mean, maybe at least one of the big reasons why people go back to those anime movies. But also like being with you in Austin, where it is like, I love, here's the fun thing that people may or may not know this from the podcast, because I mean, they're used to listening to us talk about things for a long time. But like when we're not on the clock, and when there's not this sense of like, okay, we need to make sure we don't have like a 4-hour episode, we will just be talking and you can just go on this incredible tangent that's different, by the way, than my tangents that we talk about on the podcast, where it's like me going back and forth with the like, but on the one hand and on the other hand things. It's more you just talking about something that you're so passionate about, and you always midway through will be like, I'm sorry, I know you don't care about this, which is not true, because the subject matter, the subject matter is something that I don't care about, but the way that you talk about it is filled with like so much genuine passion and energy that you can't not care about it. Like Candace always talks about how like when you, it doesn't matter like she talks about like the Olympics or watching like really great musicians, where it's like when you're watching someone that loves what they're doing that much, it doesn't even matter at that point if you care about the thing that they're doing. And so in that sense, the fact that it's just like enjoyable to listen to you talk about things, I feel like the Louise reference is very strong.
Apt.
Yeah.
Well, apt. Thank you.
However, I do think, and this is going to feel like a cop out, but you know, in the same way your mind maybe went to Steve with me, just given our conversations, and then kind of went from there. Like, not surprisingly, the first place I went was Tony. But
I don't think I'm truly sarcastic enough. True, like,
right,
quippy enough.
That's fair. But
there's
that's
a little
also,
more airhead. It's almost more Star-Lord. A little more out to lunchness.
That's really funny because that's where I was about to go. Like, I feel like like there are Tony elements for sure. In the same way that I feel like you're saying there's Steve. Like, and there the reason I think in some ways that we're drawn to those characters is because they reflect like values that we already espouse, whether it's like on a personality level or like a principle level or whatever. And I definitely see some of that with Tony for you, but I do think Star-Lord is kind of perfect, which is also high praise because like that's one of, especially like Guardians One era Star-Lord, like that's in some ways as like cool and fun as the MCU gets. But I feel like you've got like, there's a little bit of a like iconoclast thing going there. There's like, you don't care that much what people think about you. Like,
that's true.
What you do care about things and about people, which I think is also fair to Star-Lord. But like, there's this, I don't know, there's this like perfect sort of balance of having a clear center and like things that are guiding
okay.
you.
Okay, this is going way too in-depth for what I was thinking. I thought this would be a quick little thing, but thank you. Thank you.
We'll have to return to this because I'm also really curious to hear what our listeners think, because they probably have a better sense in some ways than we do, because they can kind of look at like a 30,000-foot angle there.
That's so funny. There's so much to get to, and I thought that'd be like a two-minute deal. Instead, we're like breaking down each other's characteristics, and I love it so much. Here's what has also been so fun. As we said, we got together to watch Black Widow, and I have a really big announcement that's going to be super fun for you guys. I was flying back from Austin, and it was late, and I was tired. I just got a chance to reflect on how cool this has all been. You know, the weekend was so much fun for us to get to see each other again, to watch Black Widow. But then this Loki episode being so good, and just a lot of things have been kind of rolling, and I've just been so grateful. You know, it kind of hit me on the plane. I was like, golly, this has been so much fun, and I'm so grateful for everyone that's helped us make this work. And it feels like it's just getting started, you know, and it was good to see you. And I don't know, it just all kind of hit me. And so as kind of an extension of that, we had a really fun conversation with Cinemark Theaters.
Yes.
And we're super excited to announce this, okay? We are partnering with Cinemark Theaters. And if right now you guys take a screenshot that you are listening to this episode and you then go on social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, and you tag both us at the FFW podcast and Cinemark in a story or a post, you will be entered into a drawing to win a private showing of Black Widow for you and 20 of your friends.
I mean, how cool is that?
How dope is that? So here's kind of some of the details really quickly. Normally, a private watch party that you can get through Cinemark costs about $149. In some locations, it costs $249, okay? So if you win this and you do what I just said, you tag us on social media that you're listening to this episode, we're going to give you a $250 gift card where you can call Cinemark and book a private viewing. Now, this is really, really cool for multiple reasons. One, not only do you get to go to Cinemark and watch Black Widow with your friends. And by the way, if you want to go with just five of you, that's fine. You can do that. You can get the whole theater and just go with five people. It's fine. But also, like we said, you get to go back to the theaters to watch this, which Robbie and I can vouch from experience was so much fun, right? We just did that.
Even if you already have tickets purchased, if you're going to like a late night Thursday showing, or even if for whatever reason you're planning to have a big watch party together and people are doing a Disney Plus thing or you have a family, that's totally fine, because either way, like, this is like you need to experience Black Widow in the theaters with people that will appreciate it with you and that you care about like we did, because it was such a perfect kind of return, not just to the MCU films, but to theaters, and we're still sort of basking in the glow of it. So I feel like this is like the best, the most fun thing that we could possibly offer.
Yeah, and just the community aspect of the theater, like Robbie's saying, was so much fun. So we only have one to give away, but again, here's the quick details. Save a screenshot that you are listening to this episode right now, tag at Cinemark and at the FFW podcast, and you can win a private viewing party for you and 20 of your friends, okay? So you can bring 20 guests. You don't have to bring all 20 guests. You can go with less people. It's a perfect way to celebrate birthdays, date nights, anniversaries, or whatever, or just get together with friends and go to the theaters. How fun is that? If you win, we will DM you this gift card. There's a link that you can book the private theater experience really easily and instantly through their website. So it's not hard to do. Mm-hmm. The only caveat is you need to make sure you have a Cinemark theater near you to enter, okay? I trust all you guys. Please do not send an entry to us if you don't have access to a Cinemark theater. So check that out first. Not because I don't love you guys and we don't love Cinemark, but I don't want you to win and then have us have to reverse that because you can't get to the Cinemark, okay?
Unless you're willing to drive like 12 hours or something, in which case,
might be worth it. So how fun is that? So do that right now.
It's so fun.
Go back to the theaters. Let's freaking watch Black Widow together. It's going to be so much fun. Win this private thing. We will choose a winner next week, Thursday. So get your entries in before next Wednesday, if you're listening to this, before next Wednesday, so that we can choose a winner and then celebrate with that person getting to watch Black Widow. And trust me, guys, you're going to hear on Monday, we freaking loved Black Widow. So you're going to like it too. Okay, Robbie. Before we get into this Loki episode that I absolutely love, what is new in the MCU?
All right. So as always, there's a lot of great MCU news out there. There's some stuff that I want to talk about with some other Disney Plus shows that we can get to in the weeks ahead. But the immediate thing that everyone's still kind of talking about, and this is the first time we've had a chance to record since it came out, is the Shang-Chi trailer finally dropped. And that had some fun little surprises in it. Like, I was not expecting to see Wong in that trailer.
Abomination?
I was not expecting to see Abomination, Kyle. I mean, we had found out that he was going to show up in She-Hulk. I think Kevin Feige announced that a while back. But seeing him on screen, you know, whatever you think now of the Incredible Hulk, between Ross showing up in Civil War, Ross showing up in Black Widow, the Incredible Hulk's canon, man. You can't get away from it. Not saying it's a great film, but it's they're really making sure that we know that movie is here to stay.
You're going to hear us talk about this a little bit on Tuesday's episode with Kelly Thompson, spoiler alert, because we talk about how the MCU seems to do this thing where they'll take their lower reviewed movies like Thor Dark World, or in this case, Incredible Hulk. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they constantly try to find ways to bring them back and make them more important. Like, has there ever been a larger example of that than bringing back Abomination from Incredible Hulk?
Absolutely not. I mean, that is the movie that the folks that I have kind of walked through our rewatch order, so many of them have just chosen to not watch The Incredible Hulk. Because, I mean, they've heard a lot of bad things about it. They know that the Edward Norton, Mark Ruffalo break is such that they're not really going to feel the story follow through in the way that they would if the same actor had stayed. So I think a lot of people are tempted to leave it off. And I'm going to have to be like, sorry, you got to go back, watch you some Incredible Hulk now. Because Feige's telling us it matters.
Full confession, I skipped it when I rewatched it with my dad. I skipped it.
I get it.
He's never seen it. Yeah.
I get it. Also, aside from that, which was super fun, just the trailer in general was a ton of fun. Like, I think the effects look sort of unique. This is a character that is really, like, there are not a ton of famous Shang-Chi stories the way that there are for really any other character that's had a solo film in the MCU. Like, he's got a long history in the comics world, but they have almost like a blank slate in the way that they did with Guardians, where, like, yes, there was a history in the comics universe, but Gunn really, I think, felt like he could make up his own stuff. And I think that they kind of are in a similar position with Shang-Chi. And that all makes me excited. And especially leaving Black Widow, where I felt like they really tried to be kind of stylistically bold and do some new things. It feels like they're going to try to push some boundaries here, maybe even more so in Shang-Chi. So I was very happy with the trailer. You and I didn't get to talk about it a ton, but it sounds like you were pretty excited as well.
Yeah, I loved it. And it's sneaking up on us. I just looked. It's September 3 that it comes out. So, you know, by the time we finish Loki, it's not that long till we can start ramping into some Shang-Chi stuff. So we'll definitely get into it more ASAP.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Robbie, for what's new in the MCU. I appreciate that. Can we please have a conversation about Loki episode 4 now?
Yes. 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 Thank you. Okay. So Loki episode 4 is entitled The Nexus Event, which this was one of those things that as soon as I saw the title on Disney Plus, I immediately got excited. I mean, because we've been talking about this and the connections with WandaVision. This episode was written by Eric Martin, again, directed by Kate Herron. We didn't really have any new members of the cast show up. But I will say, Natalie Holt, again, just knocking it out of the park with this show. I want to say as a brief aside, sometimes I feel like you and I, you know, delve so deep into the music. And I do feel like it's been hard because so much of it's been good lately. I mean, over the past several years that it sounds like we love everything, but this is one, especially good. And two, I was having a conversation with someone last night and we were talking about Loki, and to be fair, they hadn't seen episode 4, which I think is a game changer in a lot of ways. But the one thing that he said, the first thing that he said to me is, holy cow, the music in that show is so good. So it's not just us. Like, it's like a thing that is notable in how exceptional it is. And that, I think, maybe more so in this episode than anyone so far.
I think the highest praise I can give it is we may need to already redo our Power Rankings episode on the themes because of the themes I get here and because of, spoiler alert, some of the themes I get in Black Widow.
Yeah, yeah.
We already have to redo it. The bwah, wah, wow! Bwomp, 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 bwomp.
It's so good.
Are you
good.
Kidding me? It's that so song. Good. And yeah, I can't wait. Yep, the music is so good. Robbie, I feel like I got a steroid shot of MCU content where I was like, oh, episode 3, I had some qualms. Oh my gosh, I've been so amped. I'm not making this up. I watched this episode by myself again with nice TV, awesome surround sound. But by myself, you know, it's hard to elicit some reactions. Mm-hmm. And I felt a way that I have not felt since WandaVision.
Oh, wow.
I literally multiple times went, let's go, let's go, to myself. And then at the end of the episode, I stood up and went, yes, 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 yes. Because I was so excited to come here and talk about how much this episode did it for me.
I love that.
So where should I start? I mean, what do you want me to say?
I mean, I think that there's the crazy thing about this episode, before we get into the nitty gritty, is that it really is, it's so different from any of the prior three. Because I think if people had complaints, especially with the first two, and the third one, I think it was that not a ton happened. There was like a lot, it seemed like an intentional, like, okay, we're setting things up, we're developing characters, but there was very little forward momentum. And this episode had so much happen. I mean, it was like packed full of, there were still really great conversations, but there's also a ton we have to discuss. And it just made me realize that, I mean, it is interesting. Like, for you, you had such a crazy positive reaction to it, as opposed to even the other Loki episodes, like pre-episode 3, that I think, like, it goes back to what we were talking about, like, for me, I loved it. I will say, like, I still think the premiere might have the edge for me. I'm going to have to do a rewatch and see, just because, again, wow, I really, really, really love the writing in that episode and some of the little wow moments, and the setup I thought was really great. But it's interesting how much, like, that is, like, I say all this because I felt like in a week there was a lot of, like, kind of negative Loki reaction that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, there kind of was.
After episode 3, like, even in, like, the days after episode 3, because, like, the day episode 3 came out and we recorded, I hadn't really seen a ton yet. Like, I'd seen some people say, like, oh, well, it's my least favorite, which you and I both said. But I didn't see a ton of people, like, saying I don't like it. And then in the days, like, since then, I've seen more of that. And I wonder if this episode is just exactly what all those folks needed as kind of the antidote to whatever they thought was ailing the show as of episode 3.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. What was funny about last week was we watched last week's episode twice and then immediately dove in and recorded. So mm-hmm. like Robbie's saying, I also did not get a chance to dive into our Slack or the internet reactions pre what I said on the episode. Does that make sense? So that's the timeline. Right. So then I said some things on the episode last week being like, here, you know, I felt like this was a little bit filler and I just felt uneasy about this and I haven't felt uneasy thus far. And so it was weird. And then after we recorded that and finished it and it came out, I got a chance to dive into our Slack. I dove into some other coverage of Loki and I was surprised, I guess, to find out that a lot of people felt like I did. What I was saying was not necessarily the crazy minority.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So no, that was totally weird. But it kind of brings up another larger principle, which is funny for me to say because I know we have a weekly podcast breaking down episodes week by week. But I'm just not so sure I'm in love with the idea of ranking these things episode by episode.
Right.
It was meant to be a story you consume in 6 episodes. And I love that they give us the space in between to theorize and talk about it and whatnot.
Right, right.
But it's like stopping a book after a chapter and then saying, well, I like chapter 3 more than 1. And I just don't know that that's how the book was meant to be consumed. You know what I'm saying? So again, I understand we are up here doing that. So it's hypocritical.
Yeah, that's a great point though. Because like after, I thought the same thing. Like this episode would not have worked without episode 3.
Right.
Full stop.
But the problem is we stopped after episode 3, so we have to talk about it, and that's how I was feeling.
Right.
And, you know, I don't say that to also excuse they're allowed to have bad episodes. I'm not saying that either. Like, I'm allowed to come up here and say I didn't love that very much.
Right.
But, yeah, this just reminded me, like, it's a little unfair to constantly judge and rank when we don't know the whole thing. Anyways, back to this story. I think you're right. Every question I had about episode 3 being filler or what are we doing here and what's the main plot? Well, we got all the main plot stuff. You know, they go right back to the TVA and now we're finally advancing. Like, who are the timekeepers and what's happening in the TVA and what are the timeline things? And we're left with all these questions, which I love. But what's interesting, Robbie, is a ton of that development still happened via long conversations.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So you say like, hey, a lot happened this episode. Yeah, it did, but it wasn't necessarily a ton of action. It was just them having very revealing dialogue.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, there was some action, but you're right. I mean, a lot of what happened was just, it reminds me again of what we were talking about with WandaVision at around this point where, and I love that Marvel's doing this, especially with these shows that are a little more mind-bendy. I like that the questions that they set up from the get-go, that we're all like, what about this? Do you think this is going to happen? We're theorizing about. They answer, you know, 2/3 of the way in. So it's not like now we're left like, okay, now we have questions that we didn't even know to ask. And the questions that we had in some ways have been answered, in other ways have been answered with more questions. But I love that. Like, I love that it's not just, okay, we're going to get this answer in the finale. It's more like now we're sort of flying blind in a way that I think is super fun.
But I just need to get to some of these crazy questions and answers we got. I mean, one of our listeners had an incredible idea of adding a segment to our show, Robbie, called like What's Poppin' on Slack, basically bringing in like what are people talking about in our community. And I love that. Eventually, maybe I'll have an audio cue and a segment and all that. But one of the things that's really interesting is that's true. A lot of people are talking about, wait, I still don't get the Sylvie thing, because Sylvie, we get to see her on Asgard, which, by the way, how cool. Did you cheer? I cheered. I did. Just to see Asgard. Are you kidding me? It was so cool. But then it's Sylvie there, and we kind of get to see how tortured her past was. But again, people are so confused about the difference between a multiverse or a timeline or what we learned in the first episode. And I think the whole point, Robbie, this is where I'm at, is nothing we learned in the first episode is true.
Right.
Right? So there isn't a sacred timeline, obviously. Well, because how do you explain it? Sylvie's coming from Asgard just like Loki is, but they don't know each other. They don't run into each other. It's a straight up multiverse already. There's an existence where Sylvie is Loki on Asgard, and there's an existence where Loki is Loki on Asgard.
Right. No, I think
so.
So
I'm saying the multiverse thing that they claim they're tying into one sacred timeline is not true. It's already going on.
Okay. No, I think you're right. I agree with that. I guess I'm saying I think the sacred timeline exists insofar as they are trying to cull away those things. Like, they are trying to like prune the branches, so to speak, whether they're doing it effectively. But I think that if the sacred timeline doesn't exist, there is at least something that they're trying to consolidate. And so I think that's why, like, she's talking about how she's, by virtue of existing, every time she goes somewhere, it's an issue for the TVA, because she's not supposed to exist according to their own rules. That I think the question now is, well, why? Because it's obvious. You're right about the sacred timeline not having to exist.
Okay. Let's just get really nerdy for a second, because this show just is straight up confusing. It's confusing. What's the definition of pruning then, even? Because, for example, at the end, spoiler alert, obviously, we see a massive twist where Loki gets reset, which, by the way, is resetting the same as pruning?
Well, I think that's a whole question in and of itself. Like,
what I'm saying. It's getting... Okay, because then... But then we see that Loki actually goes somewhere, which we'll get to in a second, obviously. Crazy cliffhanger. But... So you're telling me they're determining that Loki on Asgard, that's the one they want to make the only one. So Sylvie at an early age is a mistake to them, and that means... Let's erase all the events there so that it goes back to just Loki on Asgard.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I mean, based on what we have in front of us.
So how many other Sylvies did they do that to? Thousands?
I mean, I would think each of the people that Loki is confronted with there at the end would have been a Sylvie. Right? Because they've decided that Tom Hiddleston's Loki, for whatever reason, you have to think the whole multiversal theory, at least in sci-fi, always tends to come back to, like, their infinite possibilities. So, I mean, like, yes, there are, like, Loki that we have now is a variant in that instead of him going back to Asgard at the end of the Avengers, he escaped and is now like free of that time stream. But that's like a very minor variant compared to like Loki's a crocodile or whatever that we're seeing there at the end.
Yeah.
And so like I would imagine that like any number of, you know, I guess their mission is to take down infinite numbers of beings that are not the whichever version they've decided, again, for whatever reason.
And the version they decided is Loki that we know.
Yeah.
You're saying.
Yes, yeah. But I mean, based on what we know, I think what's going to be so fun about this next episode is hopefully in getting these answers from Renslayer, we're finally going to have a sense of like what the motivation is And, you know, because I do want to bring us back to what Waldron said about that, that first thing in episode one with Miss Minutes talking through the history of the TVA being super important, because that doesn't mean that it's true, and we've said that before, but I still think that there's something there. Like, if it's not true, or if it's only partly true, then why is that the messaging? Like, there has to be a reason why that's the party line. And that's what I'm kind of most curious about. But I think you're right. I mean, I think by and large, everything that they've told us so far about the way things work, and for sure, I think, like, with the red line, like, going up on their diagrams, like, it makes you wonder if any of that is legitimate. Like, if they don't prune something in time, like, are there actually any consequences, or is all of that made up?
Okay. I mean, this is insane. This is a different episode than we've ever done, because I'm just going to ask more questions. Do you think personally that there's a difference between the reset charge and when they get hit by the glow stick?
I don't think so, only because they make it look exactly the same visually.
So everything that's in that reset charge, that's out of place, whether it's a person or a stuffed animal they left laying around or a building, goes possibly to this new land we just saw at the end of the episode. Hence, Stark Tower being there and damaged.
Yeah,
did you notice that? At the very end, Stark Tower is in the background.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, okay, so the question is, though, why is Mobius not there?
Or we don't know he's not.
Yeah,
I mean, he might be.
But why? I mean, it's interesting that Loki drops right in front of four Lokis or five Lokis or however many are there. Like, why is that? Because of something that Loki did? Is there something that we didn't see where he, like, because
maybe only the brainwashed people go a different place, but
yeah, I mean, like, so Mobius. is your theory still on the Mobius front that he has always been the analyst leaving the rings on the table, and so this has happened to him multiple times?
Yes, on the Mobius front, by the way. That's another thing that was obvious to me about this episode over episode three. I just missed him. He's the star of this episode for me.
Yeah,
he is the star of the show.
Agreed.
And sorry, not the entire thing, but of this episode.
Right.
But what's so fun is, like, that's what I was missing. The dialogue that Mobius gives as he's putting together how caged and oppressed he is, and I don't know what's going to happen. That's what gets me on the edge of my seat. That's what Kyle loves. That's Kyle's scene right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, him putting that together and realizing that Renslayer is lying and, like, taking the tempad from her, all of that was so, so good. As I pointed out, I loved it so much. And then when he finally goes back into Loki and says, no, shut up. Like, is this, this, and this? Can you trust me? And they have that whole moment with, how about from a friend?
Right.
And I actually, for a second, believe Loki, that he's actually doing it as a friend.
Right.
To then come back out and get caught. That whole, I mean, come on, the tension there. Are you kidding me? When he finally realizes, like, there's no hope. So he goes into the jet ski thing. And then that was really emotional.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
When he actually did get erased. And I think Loki's actually shaken up by it.
Oh, no, that was, yeah, I mean, that was super emotional. And I think, again, because of the foundations that have been laid up until then.
So that's my side note on Mobius. I love him so much, like I thought I would. But on the plot front,
yeah,
what I can't figure out with my theory is him getting poked with the stick different than him just getting his brain reset? And if that is the case, why didn't they just wipe him again versus fully, quote unquote, resetting him? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, well,
and that's where I don't know with my theory if there's a hole in it. And by the way, maybe the answer to my own question is, maybe this time she feels like he's too close. Like, maybe in the past he was just kind of flirting around the idea and they would just subtly do it. Or honestly, this is insane. Maybe there's something that he's doing every day in his life that resets his brain. He doesn't even know it. Like, what? Maybe the drinking the alcohol with Renslayer wipes his brain.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it could be something like that. And maybe that's why this time she's like, look, he's gone way too far. Just delete him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen yet, and that's something else that we might get in episode 5, like any sort of mind-wiping technology that we can draw from in this show. So, I mean,
Well, except that we know that they are all former variants that don't remember their past.
No, right,
so something's happened to them.
But is that them putting them through some particular, like, mind wipe process? Or is that just by virtue of, like, is that what happens when they're, like, reset and brought back? And then what does the bringing back look like? And where are they going? Like, are they going to somewhere like what Loki's saying? Or how, I mean, yeah, I think that's the question, is how are, like, is the mind wiping aspect tied to the resetting, or are those two separate processes? I know this is, like, such a nerdy way to approach this.
This is as nerdy as we've ever gotten. I love it.
I had one other thing that just felt kind of vindicating for us, because do you remember I talked about after episode 1, you know, critics were generally really positive about it, but I saw some people kind of snarkily say, like, oh, well, you know, this show just brings up the idea that there's predestination in the MCU and doesn't even satisfactorily address that. And we said, well, that's not a fair complaint at all until the show's over, because you don't know what they're going to do with that yet. Like, that's kind of ridiculous. And here, to your point, we're told, like, especially in that Mobius Loki scene, yeah, there isn't. Like, all of that is false. And they're what we thought, you know, that there is, you can still control your destiny and all of that stuff. So it was just another, like what you were saying earlier about not necessarily ranking episodes one by one. It's also just like, obviously everyone's free to draw their own conclusions, but it just feels so pointless to start one episode in or two episodes in drawing these larger conclusions about what the show is or isn't satisfactorily doing. Like, it just, I feel like right. This is a great example of why that is just kind of a waste of time.
Right. Ugh, when he says, you can be whoever you want to be. Not that anyone's ever told you otherwise or something. And then he kind of smiles about it and laughs about it. But I just, one more time, can I say something? Owen Wilson also killed the acting here. Like, so believable. I love watching frantic Owen Wilson. Not just funny, cool, calm, collected Owen Wilson.
Right.
Love it. Okay, two other major plot points. So obviously the timekeepers, right? I loved how in the intro to the episode, they show just the glowing eyes. Because for a second, you're like, holy crap, they are real things. You know, the very beginning when she walks in there and there's three glowing figures?
Right.
I thought that was really clever. I mean, obviously you're still wondering, but it was epic and dark and dope. We were kind of right. It was literally Wizard of Oz type stuff.
Yeah.
I have so much to say. First of all, I think you're right that the Sylvie and Loki chemistry here, when they finally get back together there, totally works. Perfect.
Right.
And probably wouldn't have been as perfect if we didn't get episode 3, okay? So we get this massive moment of them, I think, kind of falling in love as they're dying, or at least admitting that way, you know?
Right.
And then,
which
that
in and of itself,
is the thing
I love, by the way. We can get into that more later, but that plot point I think is fantastic.
No doubt. But then that is an event that is so memorable that it does create a branch, which is interesting, right? Because we just found out that nothing you do matters before the apocalypse. Nothing. Except now this. And so that's what goes crazy. That's how they end up trying to track them down and find them. And then that's why Mobius says, oh, an event like that could bring this whole place down. And then that's why I think Loki at the end, that's what he's trying to tell her. He's going to look at her and put on some kind of emotion to say, I think I'm falling in love with you, to take the whole place down. Because they don't know where it ends. But he had just heard from Mobius, that's an event that will breach this whole thing.
Right.
Which I thought was really clever. But then, obviously, the question you're left with when the timekeepers get killed, and it's the question they're asking is, well, somebody is still doing it. Somebody put the timekeepers in their place, and somebody still created this entire thing,
right?
Which has power.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, it would be one thing if someone had just told them, told us that this is how it works and we were just going purely off of that. But instead, it's this thing where we've seen the Tesseract not work. I mean, could that be an illusion?
Right.
Sure, but we've seen it. Like, we've seen Loki not be able to use his magic. And so...
Right, so it still has power.
Yeah, I mean, and it goes back again, and this is why I keep saying, I just think that first episode was so well done and introduced so many interesting ideas that we're still kind of coming back to. And just as a setup, I think was genius, because... Like, going back to that Loki question of, like, is this the greatest power in the universe? Like, is it? Or is it, does that all fall, like, in the same kind of Wizard of Oz way that the Timekeepers do? Whereas, like, is all of this propped up as some kind of illusion? Is it Kang? If so, why is he hiding behind, like, these android things? You know, what's the motivation there? Is it Renslayer?
Now that we know the Timekeepers, at least how we were shown them, are not real, that does lead you to believe, okay, there is still somebody else who does have power, at least enough illusion to make the Infinity Stones feel like they don't work somehow. And then what is also their agenda? Because remember we were talking about how the Timekeepers in the first episode, like, why would they choose this? Why would they choose that? Like, they're not necessarily morally good or bad. Well, right. Now we're finding out that it's not the Timekeepers that we knew behind the scenes. So who is deciding that still? So not only do they have the power to decide it, what's the point? Like, right. If it is Kang, like, what is he trying to get to? And if it's Kang, why does Loki originally taking the Tesseract from Endgame matter to him? Like, what does that matter?
Uh-huh.
What's he trying to accomplish? And I don't have the answer.
If you were going straight by the Kang theory.
Well, if not Kang, then who is behind it? Like, yeah. You said Renslayer?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, like we've said in the comics, Renslayer is always kind of intimately connected to Kang. So it could be some kind of joint thing. Or one could lead to the other.
She doesn't seem powerful enough, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but like even when she's fighting,
right.
It doesn't come across like she would be able to have set this all up.
Yeah, which that's just a strange thing. Like, why go to the trouble of setting up? Like, it's what Loki asks, where like, we're here just so you can kill us. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you don't need to bring us here to do that, but they're all just shams. So it's for the benefit of like, so that whole scene is for the benefit of whom? Like, is that meant for Loki and Sylvie? And if so, why? Because if it's just going to end with them being pruned or reset or like whatever verbiage we want to use, like there's so many questions, and I love it because that's what I mean. Like, I really, we can throw theories out, but whereas up until now we've been able, like, we had some kind of real clues to work off of, I have no idea based on what the show's given us. We can come up with all sorts of things, but I don't know what's going on. All I can imagine is that the main MCU timeline that we've seen play across the Infinity Saga has to be somehow useful to these people or person. And so they're wanting to convert everything into that because maybe that's the, I don't know.
That's why what I said in the first episode was I'm going to reserve judgment on the Infinity Stones thing, for example, because there might still be some trippy way that they work out that they are still all powerful.
Right.
And I still don't have an answer to how that could be. But I think the point is we're supposed to question everything we've learned thus far. So, yeah, we got two more episodes to see if it can wrap some of that up. I think maybe there's something going on with the multiversal war where this person who's behind this wants it to happen, or maybe like something happens inside the sacred timeline in the future that is devastating to said person. Let's just say they lose a family or they lose a planet or they're not king or something. Mm-hmm. And maybe by the TVA accomplishing this said character's agenda, they can avoid the future issue, kind of like Tenet. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that's I don't know. There's
right.
The person, someone's behind it, and someone has an agenda for some reason, and I don't know what it is.
Well, and this kind of comes back to,
and by the way, maybe the entire TVA wasn't created. Maybe it was already a city of some sort that has just been populated with these brainwashed people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So then that would be a little bit less power to like create this entire universe.
Right.
But by the way, we do know that they have the power to create the ability to jump to different points in time, right? Like that we are seeing different timelines.
Right.
We're like, they're going to like 79 AD and then 20, whatever, 55 or whatever. So they have enough power to do that. So it does seem to exist outside of time. Is it Loki in the future?
Well,
sounds insane, but
yeah, I mean, I've seen people throw that out. Although I feel like that could be the case. I don't see any evidence for that. Like, again, that's just something we could throw out in terms of like, wouldn't that be crazy? But like, because the timeline that is being saved is the one where he loses and dies.
I freaking love it. If you came to this podcast to look for a really tight, concise group of answers on what just happened, you came to the wrong place. Because I love the episode, and I love all these questions, and I love the drama and the tension, but I don't have the answers yet. I don't think anyone does.
No.
So these are all just rumors and questions at this point.
One thing it does make me think about again, and I keep referencing this. If you're just tuning in and haven't gotten a chance to listen to our episode on the second episode of Loki, you should go listen, because the conversation we had with Michael Waldron, we talked some about the kind of time travel theory and how he worked with Endgame. And that's another thing I kept thinking of here is, okay, a lot of the explanation we got there was meant, you know, and he said this, to not raise any red flags for people that were familiar with the way it worked in Endgame. And in some ways, I said then and still think it even kind of clarified and made more sense of some of that. Now, is that all called into question as well? Like, was that part of the facade? Is that the real way that things are working when they're time traveling? Because the other thing I'm thinking, whenever you're talking about this being outside of time, do we know that? Or, I mean, we know that, like, what makes the TVA, where they are in the TVA, any different from where they are when they show up at, like, Roxcorp or in Asgard? Like, is it just that, I mean, we know that their powers don't work, but that could be rooted in something else. I don't know. I mean, there's so much going on.
Well,
I mean,
how are they getting there then? How are they getting to Pompeii if they can't move through time?
Well, because the Tempads, I think that's just the, like, they can go through time, but I don't know.
So you're just saying, is the actual TVA existing in a time? Like, let's just say it's 1950.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Like, they can still get around with the Tempads.
Right. I mean, because, you know, like in Avengers Endgame, they can time travel, but they're still existing in time whenever they, you know, they're not like the whole thing is like you have the stream of time and we're jumping out of it for the TVA. And I just don't know if that's going to end up holding up.
Interesting.
Because the other thing is like the prison that Loki goes to, the time prison, they call it, like everything that they're doing is just, it's them having a certain dominance over time, like time itself, like even in the moments of like, you know, Sylvie's trying to get up to the timekeepers and she keeps being like pulled back the way that Loki was in episode one. Like, is that it? Like, that power seems real, but I'm just wondering, what that's rooted in and how far it goes beyond that.
Right. I don't know. On the Kang front really quickly, I just need to reiterate this. So typically in this kind of situation with WandaVision, for example, remember we were talking Mephisto episode 3, Mephisto episode 4,
yeah.
Mephisto episode 5. And then finally, by the time we got to like episode 6, I said, if it doesn't happen now, I don't think it's going to happen, right? Because I don't think they're going to introduce a demon, you know, 85% of the way through and take away focus from what we've already learned
right.
from the characters and whatnot.
Right.
What's interesting about this, though, is because we know Kang's in Ant-Man 3, I do still think it is possible that they would bring him in episode 5 or 6.
That's a good point. I've wondered that.
Because we have that confirmed, and we know Marvel likes to do that with heroes, like an intro to them in the show before that's really about them.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them doing that with a villain, right? That he does show up now in this next episode or in the last one. And like I said before, I'm kind of now leaning towards this theory that it doesn't get resolved by the end of Loki. I don't think it's going to get resolved. If it is Kang, I could see a world where Kang still exists. They don't win. The multiverse war or whatever is open. It's going. And like we said, now we're going to go into that phase where Spider-Man has to deal with it and Doctor Strange has to deal with it. And maybe even, honestly, sounds insane, What If deals with it. Like, maybe What If is all these other multiverse scenarios.
Yeah.
And then I think eventually they'll close it. That's the team I'm on.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I keep going back to the Hickman Secret Wars stuff, and it's funny because whenever we had Michael on, I was going to ask him if he was familiar with that story. And before I could ask him that, he talks in that interview about how they had basically every major Marvel comic that dealt with like the multiverse and multiple timelines with them in the writer's room. So they definitely were familiar with it. And that makes sense, because what they show in that first episode is kind of a weird version of what became Hickman's Secret Wars and like all the comics leading up to it. And in that sense, like, it's not so much, and that's what I'm going to be curious to see. Like, there, it's such a good story because there's this almost like supernatural thing happening that's bringing the entire multiverse to a close, because they're all like anchored and away in planet Earth. And that's a major oversimplification. This comic run is so complicated. But I'm wondering if, like, do you think that what we're dealing with is there is some version of, like, if it's not a multiversal war, like a multiversal collapse, and there's someone that maybe isn't evil that's doing all this, but they are, it's this kind of necessary, like, they have to keep this one timeline safe or straight because they're trying to prevent the kind of calamity that they're talking about as having already happened in the prior thing. I mean, because that to me would set up, if we're looking at a whole phase of like multiversal stories, which it seems like we are, then maybe that's like there is a bigger crisis looming. Maybe we're going to end Loki with the TVA kind of disassembled, and that means that this threat that they've been keeping at bay is now kind of looming large again. And so it was like we get rid of one evil, but now there's a bigger evil.
Yes. I'm just leaning towards it's too much to wrap up in two episodes. So I think there's going to be something open-ended, also because of the information we know about the other movies. But also, there's this brand of story in movies, like an archetype that some movies follow. Have you ever seen 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yes.
So this is a spoiler.
I don't want to spoil movie,
it
for
you. Pause. I love it too. Pause it if you don't want to hear the spoiler for 10 Cloverfield Lane. But I have a point to this. In that movie, you're watching this guy abuse this girl, be a super abusive, controlling guy, but he's claiming he's doing it because he's protecting them from aliens who have taken over the world, but she's in a bunker and she can't do it. What happens, though, is you start convincing yourself this guy is just insane and she needs to get out. And then she gets out, and it turns out there actually are aliens that have taken over the world, and both things are true. It turns out the guy is abusive and crazy, but he wasn't lying about the aliens taking over the world. And I won't say other names of movies, but there's been a few other movies recently that I've seen that have this same plot device.
Right.
And it makes me wonder what you just said. Could that be used here? Like, could it be that, hey, they set us up that the TVA is doing this good thing. We then learn that, no, they're doing a bad thing, and Renslayer is lying to people, even like Mobius, about it. And the Timekeepers are these robots that aren't real, right? But then I wonder if the ultimate twist is that it's all actually true. That even though the TVA has gone through it and they are crazy and they've gone through some facades, there actually are Timekeepers or a person like Kang who is trying to stave off a multiversal war.
Right.
So that, like, even though they went about it horribly and we were lied to and all that, we get to the end of Loki and there actually is a calamity through what they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could happen like that. I've just seen some movies recently. I'm like, man, what if all things are true?
you know
what I'm saying? Like, the intro video is true. They're just, we're seeing a really sketchy lied version of it.
Well, I love that idea, and I think that could be so interesting. Because, I mean, like, one of the things that I love so much about that Hickman run that I keep bringing up is he deals with that kind of tension a lot, because there are these moments where the book is so triumphant. Like, you have the kind of big three Avengers having these truly epic, epic moments of victory, but because of that, they're basically ensuring the doom of the multiverse, because it's like they had to lose in order for the multiverse to survive. And by virtue of them winning, it's like a loss ultimately for everyone else. And now like that kind
right,
of stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It hits. So it puts you up in this knot. And I think that would be such an interesting way to move forward. I've been really happy with a lot of these story decisions so far within this show and kind of in general in Phase 4, and that I think that they're really choosing new ways of, like, if we were used to certain patterns, not saying that they were formulaic through the Infinity Saga, but, like, I think the stuff we've gotten WandaVision forward, arguably even Far From Home forward, and like what we've talked about with the way that movie ended. Like, it feels like they're really changing up what we can expect narratively, and I love that.
Yeah, and even in the greater MCU narrative, like you're saying, what's insane to think about is, I mean, they're so smart. Far From Home teased us like crazy about a multiverse.
Right.
And then it turns out it was just a guy making this up.
Right.
So they literally led us on to believe, here's a multiverse, haha. You want the multiverse thing? No, right? Then WandaVision kind of teased us with the multiverse, and they have a Nexus depression pill. And it's another entry. I'm like, okay, is this a multiverse? Well, not really. They brought in Evan Peters, who's not the right guy, and they're teasing us, here comes a multiverse, and then it didn't. And now it feels like we're getting teased again, but this time it could actually be true. Just when you look at the sequence of what they're setting up,
right,
and then what we know is coming. I love it. I love it so much. This is my scene. I had so much fun with it. I'm going to mention a couple brief, tiny little things that I also have to point out that were so fun. Didn't you think it was fun to see Lady Sif?
Yes.
To bring back another character?
I was going to say, one, I just loved seeing her again. And she's confirmed for Love and Thunder as well. Also, I like the Loki cutting Sif's hair thing is an actual story from Norse mythology.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of a fun, like, there's this whole thing where Sif wakes up and her hair, I think it's Sif, it might be another goddess, but wakes up and her hair's been all cut off and it's Loki playing a trick. And I only know that because I read Neil Gaiman's sort of compilation of Norse mythology a couple years back. And so that was just kind of a fun Easter egg of sorts. But yeah, the Sif thing in general, that whole scene I thought was really creative.
I thought another fun Easter egg on that exact point is when Loki wakes up and he says, "Is this hell?" On the subtitles, it's spelled H-E-L.
Yeah.
Because that would be like the Norse hell that he doesn't know, the Christian hell, you know?
Right.
Thought that was really interesting. That
ostensibly Hela was maybe in whenever she was banished.
Right. H-E-L-A, Hela, H-E-L.
Right.
Another thing I thought was really, really fun is I love how they portrayed the timekeepers here. Because, like, right when you walk in, you're like, oh, no, is this, like, cheesy animatronics? Like, you a little bit felt weird, but it looked good enough that you're like, is this just a bad budget Disney Plus show? You know, like, they couldn't afford to really make them epic. But then, no, it actually turned out to be a robot, like an animatronic. So I thought that was kind of a perfect mix of the weirdness of what they visually looked like.
Right. No, I thought the exact same thing. I was like, is this Star Wars Episode 1?
Right. Like, what is this? So that was fun. And then I just want to reiterate, I'm really liking Sylvie now. It wasn't like an anti-Sylvie thing from Episode 3. I just didn't think everything worked. But man, I really loved their dynamic. Like when she asks him, are you okay? And the way he responded to that, just nodding, but acknowledging how much he missed Mobius there and what he's learning and where they're going. And I don't know, I'm buying the dynamic now. So
to that end, I thought that, like I said earlier, Loki and Sylvie falling in love is such an interesting plot point for the reasons that Mobius brings up. That, like, initially
he's
you're
falling
like,
in love
like,
with an
gross
ultimate version of himself.
Yeah, because it feels at first like they're like siblings or something, but that's not true. It really is like earlier in that episode, Loki says that he's a narcissist. So like it makes sense that he loves himself and that he falls in love, but it's still kind of it makes sense in that way, and you can kind of chuckle at it, but it's also legitimately like emotional. Like I feel like I feel that and am I was moved by some of those scenes.
Yeah, and that's what I couldn't tell in that last scene before Loki crazy cliffhanger gets reset or pruned or whatever. Like, is Loki knowledgeable that their love is causing that event? So he's forcing that to Sylvie, not lying to her, but just like, okay, here we go. I got to tell her because that's going to be the thing. Or is that genuine? And again, with Loki, I never know. And I think that's fun. But I couldn't tell if he was about to say that and believe it or whatnot. And then lastly, I mean, this ending, this post-credit scene, which if you didn't see, please go back and watch. You can't miss it. He wakes up in this hell, H-E-L. There's so much to mine here that I don't know, Robbie. First of all, it's Richard Grant.
Yeah.
Is one of the guys. One of the Lokis. There's a crocodile Loki. And then what in the world with like a knockoff Mjolnir kind of that the other Loki is holding and this fallen apart New York with Stark Tower. It's not just generic New York. It's Stark Tower New York.
Yeah.
What's going on there? And I don't know if we have an answer, but what in the world?
So we're getting into, with that scene at least, some territory that's reminiscent of Jason Aaron's Thor and some of what Al Ewing did on Loki, Agent of Asgard, which is a lot of focus on future versions of Thor and Loki at basically the end of time. And they're in these kind of often like apocalyptic wasteland type environments, and they're not immortal, but they live so long that they're very old and it's like they're like the last beings around. And I'm wondering if Richard Grant is supposed to be the old like King Loki that is the version of Tom Hiddleston that's way old, like at the end of time, and we're seeing something like that in this like wasteland area. And
feels like Sakaar kind of.
Yeah. To me. Yeah. I mean, I think it seems like there it's at least a nod to that. I'm wondering if that's all that it is and we don't go much further down that road.
That seems pretty correct on one watch. Wow. I loved it. I loved it. This is maybe the most important time for me to say, what do you guys think? Because we don't know either. So if there ever was a time where we wanted to hear from you, it's right now. Join our Slack, guys, in the show notes below. and you can hear from our whole community of ideas and spoilers that you think might happen, theories that might happen, things that might happen. We want to hear from you. Also, message us on social media at the FFW Podcast. We love getting messages from you. And we have a website, theffwpodcast.com. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're available anywhere. And you guys have helped make a lot of this possible. So thank you so much to you guys. Robbie, we're just getting ramped up here for the end of Loki. This was an unbelievable episode. I cannot literally wait to see what happens in Loki 5-6. But also, you guys are not going to want to miss our Monday episode previewing Black Widow. And then don't forget the Cinemark drawing. We are going to choose a winner, and someone's going to go to a Cinemark theater and watch Black Widow in a private theater with 20 of their friends. Okay? So
for free.
For free. For free. So don't forget to do that. Find the instructions for that earlier in the episode. And guys, we'll see you Monday, and we'll see you Tuesday, and we'll see you Thursday of next week on Friends from Work.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.